Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Julieta Talevi, and tackling your questions this evening are David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities and Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investments. If you'd like to send us questions, please SMS 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. David, Wayne, good evening to you both. David, I shall start with you tonight. The fall that we experienced on the market today, on the JSE and also on US markets, do you think it's going to set the tone for the rest of June? I sincerely hope not.
South African markets were holding up so well, and you saw the headlines from 91, how they're so positive on the market and this is the place to be and so on. And I wasn't debating it anyway, because I've seen some very good buying, you know, across the board, especially in smaller companies and so on. And then 4 o'clock today, it was a watershed moment. Everything was just sold. It just fell. You know, and right across the board. So I don't know whether there's anything ominous about it. You know, I think people misread. It says sell in May and go away. Didn't say sell in June, you know. So I don't know what's behind it. It wasn't on big volume, but it was quite broad. So let's see what happens tomorrow. I'm not scared about overseas markets. I think the momentum there is starting to slow, the downward momentum. But this today was a bit of an ominous sign.
Wayne, do you think it's ominous? Do you feel perturbed, or was it some weird anomaly?
Look, we are in a bear market, and I don't think the bear market has run its full length yet. However, I don't think there's much more downside. Maybe at worst there's, and this is talking generally for all markets, maybe there's another, I don't know, 5 to 10% downside, because if we get that, we will truly go into good value territory on all markets. And, you know, maybe the US market and the NASDAQ in particular, we will go into good value territory. So I think there is some more downside. I think certainly the NASDAQ has experienced the majority of the down, you know, that the down would move. Maybe even the big markets have experienced the majority. Our South African market has actually held up, as David said, incredibly well throughout all of this. And it's really thanks to the banking and financial shares and to a lesser extent, the resource shares. They've actually held up very well. It's the industrials, Naspers and Prosus, essentially, that's pulled our market down so massively. So I still think we're in a bear market. I mean, maybe the higher oil prices frightened everyone. And you'll have to see. But, you know, the next thing we should be doing, if I'm right, is actually buying shares. I mean, that should be our next big move, is to buy shares. Yeah. Whether it's now or whether it's 10% lower, I mean, I don't know it's going to fall another 10%. I don't know.
But, I mean, Julieta, I used Wayne's acid test, and I'm in agreement with him. But, you know, people talk to me, and I'm still bearish. I say, do you want to sell now? And they say, no, I'm not going to sell now. It's too late. And I say, so you're not a seller? No, but I'm bearish. And I say, well, then you're bullish because you think the market's going to up. You don't want to sell further. So I think Wayne's right. I think people feel that we're still in a bear market, but there's not much further to go. So
I'm just being
a bit cynical. Yeah, I'm just being a bit cynical in that, because you like to make them feel. I say, well, are you selling? You know, no. So you're bullish. No, I'm not bullish. You know, like.
So, David, imagine being one of your clients. You don't know where you're coming nor going. I mean, talking about, okay, so we'll talk about 91 in a bit. I mean, interestingly enough, they took it in the neck again today. And so it's companies that have been exposed to the market, essentially, or viewed as proxies for the market. And there's a question on Coronation, which doesn't seem to be happening.
Just on 91, and you know, there's this unbundling of 91 from Investec.
Yeah.
Yes.
I wonder if it has to do with an overhang that will arise or something, because there has been weakness there. I don't know whether Wayne's looked at it or whether this is just going to create, you know, more a lot more shares on the market that people might want to sell, because it's the South African holders that are going to get 91 Investec unbundling their shares. So it might be associated with that we've seen this recent weakness. Yeah.
Well, we'll ask when towards the end of the show, because not to entirely give the game away. But on coronation itself, the question is, coronation's not responded yet, except for 2% rise today, even with a 5.6% divvy coming up in a week. So if David can give his view on coronation going forward, it's currently at its lowest price. Well, lowest price in how long? I actually don't have that off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. But I mean, is coronation just, people see it as a proxy for the market is sold off, ergo coronation, it's not going to earn the performance fees that you hope it to earn, and therefore people just dump it.
Exactly right. I think that's the, you know, that's the explanation. And it's unlikely, you know, it's not often that we've seen this with coronation. They always tended to get more and more funds, but it's become more difficult. And if you have a market that's been knocked, particularly with offshore, even though the rand is weakened, it's going to have some impact.
Wayne, I mean, do you look at coronation and think this is maybe overly negative, especially if you're a coronation shareholder, you get paid out a lot, well, just about all its earnings in the form of dividends.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's a fantastic company. I think it's certainly one of the premier retail investment companies. Well, not just retail, I mean, right across the board. All of the aspects of asset management, but it is linked to the market. I mean, you can't expect an asset manager to do well in a falling market. Yeah. I mean, they do well in a bull market, and maybe it is the time now to start looking at Coronation and to say, well, you know, maybe we should actually go in there and have a bit of a go at the shares, because this is a very good company. I mean, the story about the dividend coming out in a couple of days' time, whenever, that's in the share price already. I mean, the share price shouldn't necessarily run up before a dividend comes through.
Which would suggest that once the dividend's paid, there might be more weakness in the share.
It'll fall. I mean, it'll fall. It will go. Well, it's already gone ex-dividend, so that's already happened.
Okay. And then the same viewer says he's pushing his luck, and he says, can Wayne indicate if I should hold on to an ever-declining Sibanye share price? Wayne, I mean, if you're down, and I don't know whether you have bought it, but, you know, there's a chance that you would have bought it above 60 Rand or closer to 70 maybe, and, you know, you're licking your wounds if you are where you're trading. But is it too late to sell?
Look, I will still be cautious a little bit now about the mining shares, about the commodity shares in total. I think there could be more downside, yeah? But the next thing to do, I mean, that's just, I mean, as we've spoken about many times on this show, that's just my view. It might be totally and utterly wrong. But at some stage, you want to go and buy platinum shares. I mean, Sibanye, just having a quick look here, Sibanye's down from, call it 72, 73 Rand to 48 Rand. And that's as low as what it was in 2020. So, you know, maybe I'm waiting for that last little dip in the price, in all prices before buying. Maybe it is time to buy platinum shares at these sort of price ranges, because I'm very bullish on platinum longer term. I truly believe it's going to be.
I just hope this case doesn't materialize.
Oh, the Appian case.
The Appian case, yeah, because if they have to pay what they're claiming, that's it, you know, that's going to, on top of all the strikes that they're facing and so on. So Neil Froneman's always in the fray, but he always comes out on top.
He's used to
fighting.
Yeah,
a fight doesn't scare him.
But just on, I mean, you know, we've been talking about inflation, but then I haven't been factoring inflation into a company's own operating costs. And the mining bosses have all been warning, and you saw Anglo American. In fact, Anglo American was quite proactive about it, and then their shares got smacked as a result, talking about they're going to have to contend with rising input costs in their own business, and that's really going to squeeze margins. I mean, is that so? Notwithstanding the fact that commodity prices are doing okay, I mean, commodity prices are part of the inflation problem, that these miners are going to have to contend with rising input costs of their own, and this is something that maybe we've forgotten about.
I mean, absolutely everyone's going to, and maybe mining companies are the least affected by it. When you think of how the food companies are having to deal with inflation, and the transport companies, and look at Comair, and the airlines, and anything, I mean, they're facing far higher input inflation than what a miner is. But yes, it's a really serious problem globally. costs are going up and revenue is not increasing to compensate for that.
Just interestingly enough, Tiger Brands actually had a really good day. So when the rest of the market fell in a heap, Tiger Brands was actually up 3 or 4%, which is quite curious. Is that quite a good sign?
Well, they've been on a downward slope. The problem is that I never know from one day to the next whether a share is up or down, because you see these great gains and then you go back a few days and you see that there were big losses. And if ever you want to see something, go and look at RFG, which was Rhodes Food, because I mean this share has been tossed and pushed all over the place, and over the last few days it's been going up. I thought, well, that's great. And today what happens? It goes the other direction. So I don't know who's playing in this market, but they're really making a mess of it. You know, so it's very difficult to gauge. You know, Tigers came under pressure after their numbers for the inflation story.
Yeah.
You know, I think Wayne said it last week. You know, he said they should split the company into its commodities and fast moving goods, because commodities can make things really difficult in your life, and they are commodities. You know, they're maize, peanuts.
Bread. Well, I asked them about that, and they said that, and maybe I asked the question incorrectly, because I spoke to Noel Doyle, and he was saying that it's very hard to divorce the commodities business from the brands business, because they have, you know, that the same logistics, they share logistics operations, the businesses are intertwined. So he was saying that you're not going to get many cost synergies if you separate them, but maybe I didn't ask the question properly to say, would you actually dump the commodities business?
You know, the cross synergies are, you get that in any organization, but if there's massive value to be unlocked, you'll overcome that problem.
Yeah. Okay. Very quickly, a question before the break, seeing as we were sticking with resources, when will BHP shareholders receive the Woodside cash dividend? The sense is not very clear. I think we were talking about this last week, saying no one really understood it. But mid-June is what I understood.
Well, they've sold off the shares, so now they've just got to distribute the cash to the people who can't get Woodside.
Can't get the shares, yeah.
I think it should be imminent. I don't think they're going to delay it. So I just watch for Sen's announcements. I think all they were telling you that it's been done, but I think you'll see some follow-up some follow-up announcements soon.
There's a question on junior mining before I get to other questions that came in earlier, but I just thought thematically I'll group them together. It's with the current deal of Gold Fields taking place. Of course, Gold Fields making this play for Yamana and seeing its shares fall 20%. Is there potential for big investors to go after junior miners like Orion Minerals, which has got copper and zinc? Are we at that point in the cycle where the junior miners are suddenly looking interesting to the bigger guys?
I think possibly yes, and we've spoken about this so many times over the last many years. The mining companies have spent no money on CapEx since, call it 2013, 2014. They've spent no money, and they have a depleting asset. So they've got to start spending the money now to secure more reserves. Mm. So the answer probably is yes. Whether it's Orion or not, I've got no clue who it is. But the mining companies must spend money, because they've been depleting their reserves for 7 years now without really adding any stuff new.
I mean,
Orion's an old Prisca, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think, it was like a curse in our time. I mean, it never did anything, but I can't say that it's not going to do anything now.
There was quite a lot of excitement about
it's
last year.
It's owned by Australians, yeah.
The other dynamic to consider in South Africa is that because it's such a mess with the cadastre system, you cannot actually get exploration licenses. So if you're an existing miner and you want, or you're fond of a particular type of asset or commodity, you would have to buy something maybe in existence that already has an exploration license.
Makes sense.
But that's
backward listing. Yeah, it's like a backward listing. Yeah.
Okay, but we cannot say for sure whether Orion is in play. Moving on to other sectors of the JSE, there's a question on Tsohosan. Please ask the panel's view on this as a long-term buy in the portfolio. They published improved results. The online gaming seems to be on the rise continuously. Does the panel think TSG will soon start to pay dividends again? Wayne, do you think they're good odds?
Well, I think they are going to pay dividends again, because as long as things turn to normality or some form of normality, they will make profits and they will make cash flows and they will pay out dividends. I personally don't like the entertainment gaming stocks. I, I think they're a little bit ex-growth in the longer term. So I don't think it's one to buy and hold forever. Maybe there's an opportunity now to actually buy some, because you are going to get hopefully, to get this steep earnings recovery and get a dividend. But longer term, I think it's just too competitive.
You know, the whole gaming, you constantly have to update those the facilities. You know, it requires a huge amount of capital investment. We don't realize it. It's a good business in that, but you need a strong economy. And you need tourism. You need people to be coming here to get it going. You know, they'll recover from what has been a very oversold position. I mean, things couldn't have been worse than the last 2 years. So there will be some kind of turnaround in that. But I agree. You know, if ever you've gone past one of these places, they look very tired. Mm. Now, who goes there? I don't know.
But, you know, you have to consider the hotels, and the hotels do seem to be doing better. I was in Cape Town a couple of weeks ago. I stayed in a Tsogosan hotel. It was, I think they'd boarded just before COVID struck. So they had a hotel that sat empty for a couple of years, but it was lovely and it seemed to be busy. And I mean, Cape Town seemed very, vibrant. So I do think occupancy levels anecdotally seem to be on the up. And certainly HCI will want to see a dividend from Tsoho. So there's that.
We've got to get a few more airlines. We've got to get some people down there. Now that Comair has gone, I don't know where. Belly up or whatever it is, it's going to be harder to get us down there.
I mean, Storgo is still, the share price is still about half what it was pre-COVID.
Yeah.
Now, it's recovered enormously. I mean, it's recovered from about 2 Rand to 10 Rand, 12 Rand, but it's still a long way off pre-COVID levels.
Yeah.
The sunk costs into those businesses is huge. I mean, I'm always cynical. I'm saying if they sold off the mattresses at City Lodge or at, you know, they'll get more than the asset value of it. So, these are big organizations. But we need an economy.
Yeah. The question was on the gaming assets, not the hotel, and they asked it.
I think there's just one point. You know, we tend to forget what's happening in South Africa. The oil price, the petrol price has gone up, threefold in the last 2 years. Food prices have gone up. And I think we tend to be dismissing that part of it. I know you were scared and, you know, you were concerned about what's going to happen to the South African economy and that. But I think we've also tended to overlook that. So do your homework.
I mean, just on that point that David's raising there, I mean, the PMI number came out, which is fantastic. The outlook in the PMI is in the 60s, which is very high. And when you look at tax revenue, I mean, PAYE collections is up 14% year on year. VAT is far higher than the budget. So you just, despite everything, there seems to be a bit of cash out there.
Yeah, but I suppose that is until the latest.
I hope it can last, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. I mean, the disposable income is going to get charred up very, very quickly in the next few months if things stay as they do. But moving on, there's a question on Mediclinic, and it says solid update across all indicators in the full year 22 update of Mediclinic, giving existing shareholders a decent fillip of 8% to the share price over the last 7 days. We've been tracking the overall post-pandemic recovery of Mediclinic and competitors in the sector. And as it reaches its 52-week high, the question is whether panelists feel that Mediclinic's growth objectives are now clearly within its grasp. Wayne, what do you think?
He chose it last week, Greg.
Well, and did you feel that its growth objectives were in its grasp, hence picking the share?
I think all the hospital companies are actually going to do quite well going forward. All elective surgery is back. They're not facing the same inflationary pressures as other people are. And they're reasonably priced. So I think the outlook is still quite good for them.
Okay. David, do you want to have a further comment or should I whip ahead to some other ones?
I think Wayne said it very articulately,
Okay. What about Metro?
I think the results impressed on the upside more. You know, they, I think, doing very well. And understand that a lot of the income is coming from offshore where you know, things are coming right. So,
Okay, there's a question that's particularly aimed at you, David, saying, I love Shapiro cosplaying as Zapiro. And he was referring to your tweets. It was a cartoon that you did for the Financial Mail in 1984, which he tweeted today. Mm. He says, I'm looking to get into Palantir as my big data play. Is it a good idea, or should I stick with the big boys in the game, namely Microsoft or IBM?
Yeah, stick with the big. I don't know enough about the smaller players. And, you know, I've learned to trust both Microsoft, IBM, I don't know. It's, you know, there was an old saying in the 1950s or 60s, don't sell IBM. And I think that's the worst thing you could ever have done. I'm very happy with Microsoft. In fact, you know, what my stock pick tonight is Salesforce, where I think that they had wonderful results, which went against the trend. But what I liked about them, and what's setting the tone, is that they're not affected by what's happening. Hmm. You know, that was the message that came out. It hasn't affected them. Inflation hasn't affected them. In other words, Microsoft is in a very similar position because it's in the cloud. So I think go for the cloud players and go for the software people in the cloud, you know, who are writing and helping businesses transform into that. So, yeah, I don't know the company that is mentioned, but I still like the industry very, very much.
I mean, Palantir was quite a sort of a hot stock during the pandemic. I don't know too much about it. They seem to have interesting security. But I suppose Microsoft, you have the security of a company with a big balance sheet. And it's much cheaper now than it was. That would just
probably
be my
look. Cybersecurity and those are also very good players. It's just that I haven't looked closely at it.
Okay.
And you know, I'm comfortable with the businesses that we got. Adobe, I think we mentioned them last week. Accenture, all of those companies are doing well. S&P Global. Funny enough, S&P Global. Without, you know, they came out with a statement today. They said that they're not. You know, S&P Global, the rating agents said that they're suspending guidance for 2022 on macroeconomic conditions. They will not give you an outlook on what the economy looks like. I mean,
that tells you everything.
That's a massive statement. Mm.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. There's a question on Momentum Metropolitan, a view on the shares for the long term. Wayne, quite a few people have actually been picking Momentum Metropolitan as their preferred stock in the life insurance sector. Is it one that you look at all?
Yes, very much so. I mean, I think it was my stock pick 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's looking very, very cheap. Truly, I mean, they came up with
the results seem to be fantastic that they came out with.
Yeah, they came out with it. I think it was a trading update or business conditions update or something.
For the 10 months, I think.
Very recently, and the share did go up a little bit on that. I mean, this is the good company, well run. They've rationalized a lot of their businesses as everyone had to during COVID. I know the company well, I know management well, and it still remains one of my top picks in this sector because the share price has just been going, it's been under pressure for a long time for no apparent reason. It's not as though the results have disappointed.
Hmm. Yeah, okay. David, is this one that, I mean, the caveat being that you're not a mad life insurance fan, generally?
I'm not a mad life insurance fan, but you know, if you look at a chart, I mean, this is close to its all-time low. Well, when I say all-time lows, I'm talking about certainly over the last decade or so many years. I mean, a lot of these companies have just been thrown out and just been marked down to levels where the next move is going to be up.
Yeah.
I'm using Wayne's analogy when he explained the market. I think you've got very little downside with the kind of numbers they produce and the valuations now. So I think you can buy some of these companies blindly.
Okay. Very quickly, and before your stock picks, is Renogen worth investing for the long term? In other words, 5 to 10 years?
I hope so. I think they're making a lot of noise and a lot of hot air is coming out of the company, literally and figuratively. But he's a smart operator. And I just hope he can put his business plan together and that Helium and all the other stuff, you know. I think it's sometimes it runs because of all the information comes, it runs ahead of its, you know, of its valuations and that. But, you know, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, Stefan. I think he's a smooth talker. He's a very clever man. Let's hope, you know.
Wayne, any thoughts there, or shall I get your stock pick for you?
Look, I mean, I think a company like this, the share price does look quite extended. I mean, even though it has come off a little bit in the very recent past, it still looks quite extended. it could be a wonderful share. So for companies like this, my advice is do your homework, read into it, but don't put all your money into something like this.
Okay. I haven't left you very much time at all for your stock picks, so you'll have to hit us with them. Wayne, it was an indication towards the beginning of the show, 91.
Yes.
So notwithstanding the fact that it's been beaten down, well, is that why you like it?
Yes, well, I like it. It has been beaten down. I mean, this is also, once again, a quality asset management company that's been around for a very, very long time, proven themselves through every cycle available, and have still come out on top. They've got good asset growth. They've got a massive amount of money under management. And the pressure is because Investec unbundled their shares, as David said, and we're in a bit of a bear market now. So it just seems a very good time to go and buy it.
Yeah. And David, you said Salesforce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to repeat what I said. Okay.
Yeah. I know well, thank goodness, we're out of time anyway. So.
Yeah, that's exactly why.
So considerate.
Says it all.
Well, we shall leave it there. David Wayne, thanks very much for joining us as always. David Shapiro is from Sasson Securities. Wayne McCurry is from F&B Wealth and Investments. We'll be back tomorrow night. Same time, same place. Have a good evening.